It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are off and running on this, the penultimate day of January 2023. Yes, it is the 30th day of January 2023, and it's a Morin Monday. How about that? Yeah. Yes, thank you, Randy Radar. I did, in fact, hit the record button. Sorry about being late. For some reason or another, the stream server needed a reboot. I don't know. Like Scott in San Diego says, it needed regrooved. Scott, speaking of whom, just said, as Etta James might have sung, at last. It's already being a less than stellar day here at Shea Guru, so I couldn't face a hornless Monday. Nor would I want you to, and I'm sorry if the day is less than spectacular. It's gray and crappy and, only one day left of January. Hallelujah, praise Jesus. And then only 28 days of February. And then only 21 days of March. So 29, 49. We got 50 days of winter left. And here comes the longest, shortest month of the year. Hi, I'm Robin. A little ray of sunshine. Well, there was no sunshine here today, that's for damn sure. We got up into the 50s, but ugh. But anyway, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, even when I start late. And this program is no different. So this being the 30th and we having no... let me double check. Because of the way the PayPal subscription thing works out, we don't have any 29th or 30th or 31st of the month subscribers usually. But I will double check. Thank you. Thank you to Dave and the Blind jumping in today. Thank you so much. And thank you so much to Sharon on the 28th. And thank you to Suman and Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you both. So where does that leave us? Well, we are... somewhere in the $1,500 neighborhood to finish January. And I wish it wasn't, we didn't have these sprints, but here we are. So basically, we are unfunded for the last five programs of the year. Yes, tomorrow, today, because I'm just counting tomorrow. Tomorrow, today, and then Friday, Thursday, and Wednesday of last week. Yes. Yes, and thank you to our anonymous friend on Friday who got us down to that $1,500 number. Thank you so much. Thank you so very much indeed. But I'm still figuring I'm going to be behind the mic tomorrow. Taking one's birthday off on a Tuesday just seems kind of dumb. But just in case, I wanted to make sure that I didn't forget. And so I thought I'd go ahead and do our thank yous for our Patreon subscribers. We do that on the last broadcast day of the month always. And, next to last this time. So thank you so much to Randy Radar, and thank you to Tracy in L.A., and thank you to Christopher, and thank you to Lori, and thank you to Dave and the Blind. Thanks, Troy. Thanks, Gary. Thank you, Benjamin. Thank you to Dave and the Blind again. Or maybe, no, maybe not. Okay, but thank you. Thank you to Janice, and thank you to David up in Oregon. Thank you to Eve. Thank you. Thank you so much to our buddy Rico. Thank you. Thank you to, thank you, Chica and Katie, John, Mark, Uncle Smokey, thank you. Thank you to Jake. And thank you to Steve and Nancy, to Jimmy. Thank you to Prince, Bernadette, Irwin in Montana. Thank you, Kay and Mike. Thank you, Ed. Thank you to Dave and John in North Dakota. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you to Oak. Thank you, Bernice. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Dave, number 11. You know, I think I've got the wrong list. Yeah, that's better. Thank you, Annette and Aaron. Thank you, James. Thank you for that wonderful note a couple of days ago. Thank you. Thank you, Joanne and Lori. Thank you, Jeff and Slobe. Thank you, Baltimore Bob. Thank you, Michael of the Guffins. Nancy, thank you. Vernon in San Diego, thank you. Cat in Ohio, KW, thank you, Barb, thank you, Horst, thank you, Robin, thank you to Terrace, Brother Deacon Asa, thank you, and thank you to Jeremy. Thank you, one and all, for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep all of this on the air. Thank you so much. So, that is, again, if you, Patreon doesn't show up on the main page at headon.live. You have to go to the contribute tab for that if you'd like to be part of Patreon. And I need to sort of regroove Patreon too. Start thinking about content there. But nonetheless, it is a Morin Monday, and we have them. Oh Lord, we have them. I got one story here. It's not worth digging all the way into just because this, especially over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, they've been having a hissy over a report filed by an NBC News reporter, Miguel Almaguer, describing, and it was right after the attack on Paul Pelosi. A Seattle paper published a list of all of the right-wing POSs who spread false information, behaved shittily, what have you. Well, Mika was messing with it this morning. She shared it this morning on My Filthy Morning Habit. But it's been turned into, it's almost like a conspiracy theory level, and the Moranity is simply breathtaking, because I have a story here from from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, and the Moran nomination simply comes from the headline: calls for transparency. Ha! From NBC News grow louder in wake of Paul Pelosi attack body cam video. And the thing with the Miguel Almaguer report is that it was withdrawn by NBC, presumably for being inaccuracy.
And this Fox article is, NBC quickly retracted Almaguer's report with little explanation, and the Comcast-owned network has refused to explain what, if anything, the veteran reporter got wrong. The bizarre handling of the situation has led to all sorts of speculation. Friday's release of body cam footage from the incident was supposed to clear things up. Many media watchdogs have since claimed the footage vindicates Almaguer, while others aren't so sure. NBC just needed to be transparent, Fox News contributor Joe Concha said. Oh, shut the fuck up. I mean, this is the height of the pot calling the kettle black as pitch. Fox, transparency, oh, please. But since I did mention Mika yakking about the scumbags who tried to do, you know, make the attack on Paul Pelosi. And I've watched the video. You have too, I'm sure. It's horrifying. But nonetheless, I'm glad she did highlight the dirt bags.
The release of the body cam video is also putting a sharper focus on how some far-right Republicans, leaders, activists, media outlets began spreading groundless claims about the attack on Paul Pelosi almost immediately after it happened. Disinformation. Nearly all of them sinister and many homophobic, trying to cast doubt on what actually happened. Former Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois tweeted out this list, compiled by the Seattle Times, calling out 20 elected officials, candidates, and/or prominent figures, or people who want to be prominent.
And it's worth noting, I'll interrupt here for a second, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz blathered about it, saying that there was something there that wasn't there. Oh, the official story can't be trusted. So Representative Claudia Tenney, she spread the idea that there was something going on with a gay affair. State Senator Wendy Rogers, a lunatic from Arizona, said that spread a rumor that the story was not as it appeared. Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, that miserable nightmare from North Carolina, he got in on the act. And representing Clay Higgins of Louisiana, went so far as to say that the attacker was a male prostitute. Oh, really? And there's 20 of these freaks. And Adam Kinzinger in his tweet said, thanks, Seattle Times, for this list of people who made fun of Paul Pelosi. Hold them accountable. And that begs the question, how? You know, the people who send Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz to the Senate of the United States want him to behave that way. Because they themselves would behave that way in the same or similar circumstances because they're horrible. This is about horrible people. Because we have, in addition to a Nazi problem and a white supremacist problem and a Klan problem and a maggot problem, we just plain old flat out have a horrible person problem in this country. And the list went on.
Who made fun of Paul Pelosi or helped spread misinformation about the attack in the days after. And when I read this list, I mean, just keep in mind, this is your Republican Party. High-level names behaving in a simply disgraceful way. Some of the Republican politicians include Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who amplified doubts that all the facts were disclosed. Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who suggested Pelosi knew his attacker. Louisiana Congressman Clay Higgins, who suggested the attack involved male prostitution. North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, who raised doubts about the details of the attack. Georgia State House candidate Mary Williams Benenfield, who suggested the attack might have been staged. Minnesota State House candidate Royce White, who claimed the attack involved an extramarital gay affair. Arizona State Senator Wendy Rogers, who suggested the attack might have been staged. Florida State Representative Anthony Sabatini, who suggested that the Pelosis are hiding vital information. New York Congresswoman Claudia Tenney, who amplified a conspiracy theory about an extramarital gay affair. And here's what some other prominent figures said. Glenn Beck, raising doubts about the details of the attack. Far-right commentator Dinesh D'Souza claimed the attack involved an extramarital gay affair. Dinesh, one of those Ivy Leaguers, really, honestly, casting a dark, dark light on his institution. So embarrassing.
God, it's almost like she listens to the program.
Far-right commentator Ryan Fournier claimed details about the attack were fabricated. Former deputy assistant to President Trump Sebastian Gorka raised doubts about the details of the attack. Fox News host Pete Hegseth and media personality Megyn Kelly raised doubts that all the facts were being disclosed.
Our little nutmeg.
Elon Musk amplified a conspiracy theory about male prostitution. Former Republican Congressman Devin Nunes repeated a false report that the attacker was in his underwear. Far-right activist Michael Savage raised doubts that all the facts were disclosed. Roger Stone Savage suggested the attack was staged. And former President Donald Trump, all your all's leader, because you can't quit him, you don't know what to do with yourselves, suggested the attack was staged. Words that come to mind, soulless, depraved, unfit, you're just not serious, and really damaging to our democracy.
Yeah. And here's the fun part. They don't give a shit. It's who they are. It's how it's a feature, not a flaw with these monsters. Yeah. So that was just, I thought that was a starting place. And, you know, here's a, look, little cowbell. There it is. For whoever the guy was in Montana, I think this is the second time this has happened now. Apparently, testicle toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson, man of masculinity, likes to fly fish, or at least dress like he does or something. And I guess he's got property out in Montana stand somewhere. And so he was in a fly fishing shop over the weekend. No, this is the same story. I thought it had happened again. But, well, never mind then. It was like, wait, twice now? Girl can hope. I don't know how this winds up. This is, I've seen it in several feeds today saying, well, it was, you know, it was current news. Oh, well. Sorry. Of course, testicle toasting man of masculinity, Tuckio Rose. Well, he was in there sliming Paul Pelosi, too. But of course, no consequences. No. We can't have that. Never. Yeah. And then, well, then there's Jim Jacketoff Jordan. Oh, and by the way, here as we race toward trying to finish January to the good, I have a massive 2-for-1 challenge that's just been placed on the table. If we can raise $250 this tonight, then this individual will double the money. And so it would wind up wiping out half of the deficit that we have. And believe you me, having a $750 deficit is far better than having a $1,500 one. So thank you to our benefactor. Hopefully we will get started and raise the $250, assuming everybody didn't go away after I wasn't on air for about 10 minutes and got a late start. Sorry about that. But it was a beautiful thing on Press the Meat. Somebody has apparently had a little chat with Joke Toad and told him to quit lobbing softballs to these maggot, these miserable maggots. Because he had Jim Shorts Jordan, Jim Jacket Off Jordan, on Sunday and came at him with, you know, there was like homework and he had a list and was able to just throw actual no kidding facts at Jim Jacket Off Jordan and make him sort of deal with them or at least try to weasel out of them. And of course, you know, Jim Jacket Off Jordan. And thank you. Ralph's just got us started on the $250 challenge. So we've got $225 to go. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. That gets us started, and that's a big help. I need to... Let me go here. Let's start here. Because, of course, Friday, we listened to the portion that you can we could listen to, and individually we watched the portions of the video that had no audio and commented and chatted along the way from, tripled. Yes. This is that the challenge. It's a tripling challenge, not a doubling challenge. I'm mathematically stunted. So, yeah, that's triple your money. So, Raps is 25, just turned into 75. Assuming we get the other 225 in, and yes. Thank you for the correction. Thank you very much. But anyway, going back, we all watched the Tyree Nichols murder. We know how horrible it was. And over the weekend, the Memphis Police Department announced that they had disbanded permanently their Scorpion unit. God, these cop organizations and their attempts to sound badass, Jesus! But you know they did the right thing. To a certain extent. And that's good. Another cop has been relieved of duty. He is cooperating in the investigation. So now there are six. Six down, I think five more to go because there were, we counted something like 11 present for the lynching of, and you know, let's use the word, okay? It's not the first time that the cops have been involved in the lynching of a black man. This was a lynching, okay? And the sooner that language gets into common parlance, the better off we'll be. But we watched it all happen, and presumably so too did Jim Jacket Off Jordan, because, well, Chuck Todd actually asked him about it. And the answer was, I think I can safely say, less than impressive. I mean, the fact of the matter is, Jim Jacket Off Jordan cares less about the life of Tyree Nichols
Well, it's hard to say what he cares less about the life of Tyree Nichols than. But all around, it was a bad day for Jim Jacket Off Jordan, and of course he showed up without his jacket again. What a schmuck.
Let me start with what we saw. Senator Tim Scott, let me put up a quote, what he said. He said, "We've been here too many times before. We cannot continue down this path. America can't not stand silent. Let it serve as a call to action for every lawmaker in our nation at every level."
Yeah.
What action would you like to see Congress
do? Well, I don't know that there's any law that can stop that evil that we saw that is just, I mean, just difficult to watch. What strikes me is just the lack of respect for human life. So I don't know that any law, any training, any reform is going to change. You know, this man was handcuffed. They continued to beat him.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to happen. No sense in doing, in trying to do anything. I mean, look, this is the same argument they make every time some white kid with an AR-15 busts loose with on a school full of fourth graders or first graders. Well, you know, I mean, we don't need more laws. You know, there's no sense in having gun laws. Somebody's still going to, you know, we're still going to have these things. They're going to happen once in a while. I mean, it's just the price of freedom, y'all. Only it's not. That's like saying we need to take down all the stop signs because people occasionally run stop signs. But again, this is quintessentially and classically MAGA.
And I was actually reminded, it's hard to watch the whole thing, but as I watched it, I was reminded of when we had a hearing probably 2 years ago when George Floyd's brother came and testified in front of the Judiciary Committee. And it was one of those moments where fact and truth and emotion all came together. And he said something at hearings, actually during the questioning portion of the hearing, he said, "Life is precious." Mm-hmm. And it was one of those moments that grabbed everyone in that hearing, both parties. And the fact that we saw that these five individuals did not have any respect for life. And again, I don't think these five guys represent the vast, vast majority of law enforcement.
Not all cops.
But I don't know that there's anything you can do to stop the kind of evil we saw in that video.
So it sounds like you are not for any new federal regulation.
Well, right. Mr. Obvious. Thanks, Chuck. But Chuck's doing better. I mean, you know, you got to pray. You got to lift people up when they're doing that. He's getting a little better. He wasn't just sitting there letting Jim Jacket Off Jordan have his way. I mean, that's an improvement, right? But so he doesn't think there's any legislation. Now, on the other hand, this is also a guy who's a proponent of legislation that would punish women for managing their own reproductive systems. So I guess there's something to be done there. I mean, we have enhanced federal penalties for crimes committed by felons who possess weapons, for crimes committed when the person was in the possession of a firearm, yeah. And, but here, no, there's nothing to be done. Those were just, well, some bad cops. Without ever having the moral curiosity to wonder how they became bad cops. They were taught to be bad cops by a police department that had bad intent. It's it's just who the it's who maggots are. Because frankly, he can sit there and make noises with his mouth. But Jim Jacket Off Jordan doesn't give a good goddamn about a young man beaten to death. We know what he was really interested in talking about. We'll
have a listen to that in a minute, but let's finish this first.
There's things we can do. I think there's all kinds of grant dollars that go out. There's reform that can happen there. We offered amendments to a bill.
Yeah, we can give them more armored tanks, snipers. We can do that. Steve from Georgistan just sent me a screenshot of Jim Jordan's district in Ohio. What's wrong with this picture, Steve asks. Well, Jim Jacketoff Jordan's district is gerrymandered within an inch of its life. It runs from central Ohio to the northwest of Columbus, and then it wiggles to the north a little bit and comes back to the west a little bit, and then it goes east. Up to almost Lake Erie. It's ridiculous. And it is drawn to make his seat safe. Scott in San Diego says, the Jordan Jive. Let me try that again. I may have received the best description yet of the sorry state of our union. It came in the form of a line in an email I got today from former Air America host and currently a stand-up comedian and twice-weekly podcaster, Mark Maron. He sums up our sorry situation thusly. We face the necessity of public intellectual discourse in the face of and as a response to the normalization of American fascism. Maron has not overstated or exaggerated what we're dealing with, and the horn doesn't either. We've been talking about this for a long time. Fascism doesn't just pop up overnight. And I remember when we were, you know, radicals for mentioning the F word. Speaking of Jim Jacketoff Jordan, Scott continues, as you know, I take one for the team weekly by watching Meet the Press. I only got 5 minutes into Jordan's nearly half-hour segment yesterday with Chucko before changing the channel. If I'd watched a minute longer, I would have lost my breakfast and I hadn't even had breakfast. Yeah, that's when you start, you know, yakking up your toenails. I know the feeling. But, you know, there's grants. We got some grants. We can give some grants to pay some more bad cops.
Tim Scott had legislation. That wasn't what the Democrats brought forward a few years ago. So I think there's some things we can look at. But it's just a difference in I think, a philosophy. The Democrats always think that it's a new law that's going to fix something that terrible. We kind of think that's, you know, there's...
No, I get the ideological. I think the Tim Scott bill had a lot of financial incentives.
Sure did.
And the George Floyd bill was some mandatories. But let me go through. Why not a federal ban on chokeholds? That's agreed.
Okay, that's good. Federal ban on chokeholds. Yeah. But these maggots are absolutely wild for the death penalty. I'm not so crazy about the death penalty. But they are. How about a mandatory death penalty for cops who participate in lynchings? Why do I ask?
Upon, right? You're well, comfortable with a full federal ban on chokeholds for police officers?
Well, I'm for the best training possible, but what I'm not for is what we saw there. I don't know that any training, any ban, there was no chokeholds used there. What they did there was just continue to beat this Mr. Nichols. And so I don't know if that's the answer. But,
this Mr. Nichols?
We'll look at what we think makes sense to...
What was the word he was thinking of before he said Mr. Nichols? Or was there a phrase? This Mr. Nichols. Oh, it's little moments like that where you can really see the inner workings. But this is, of course, a man who was told that young men in his charge were being raped by the team doctor at The Ohio State University. Ho-hum. Assistant wrestling coach. I bet he knows a little bit about chokeholds. Maybe he rather enjoys them. Giving them? Yeah? Thank you so much. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Charlene just turned 50 into 150. And so we are $75 out of the $250 that we need to raise to qualify for that matching challenge. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so much. That would be huge. So that leaves us at $175 to go. $175. Thank you. Thank you, Ralphs, and thank you, Charlene, so very much. Joke. I mean, how morally depraved are you that you can't even say that a man shouldn't have a chokehold applied to him when he is defenseless? Well, I mean, they didn't choke him, did it? Oh, well, okay, so we don't need a chokehold law. This Mr. Nichols.
To help this, to make sure they have the proper training, but no amount of training is going to change what we saw in that video.
What an asshole. What a giant, whopping, no two ways about it, asshole. But it went on. And then he got fact-checked some more. This was pretty good, too. Hold on. There we go.
You keep talking about this raid on Donald Trump. The amount of time, there was 9 months between the initial action that the archives made for a request of documents before they even turned it over to the Justice Department. The subpoena was issued 60 days before they actually executed the subpoena. And more importantly, the only time the public found out about it is because Donald Trump told the public about it. This was not some sort of, you paint it as a picture of the FBI did this, this, and this within hours of each other, when it was actually a year and a half of Donald Trump not complying with any of the requests from National Archives. A year and a half. This is not some sort of proof that somehow that they've weaponized and playing politics over here.
They raided Trump's home. They haven't raided Biden's home.
Because Biden didn't defy a subpoena, Congressman. He defied a subpoena. By the way, he had 60 days to comply with the subpoena before they actually executed
the search warrant. President Trump had documents locked in a room with Secret Service protecting them. President Biden had documents in his garage and in a think tank that was funded by the Chinese. I think there's a difference. President Trump was the only guy who was actually president.
You talk about that. You're worried about the Chinese and Hunter Biden.
No, I'm just saying.
Are you worried
a difference
about the Chinese and Donald Trump?
They took pictures. They took pictures of.
Are you at all worried about that?
No, I'm not. But they took pictures of the documents at Trump's house. They took no pictures of documents. In fact,
not at all worried about, you know, precious princess Ivanka, my daddy Trump Kushner, and all the contracts that she has there with the Chi-Coms. Yeah. Nah, not worried about that.
It's not just me who would like to know what went on here. Senator Warner said it last week. He would like to get a briefing. He wants to see the documents.
No,
and guess what? The FBI is saying no, but they took pictures
of the folders
in Trump's home.
The issue is not whether Joe Biden did.
No, the issue is equal treatment under the law. That's the issue.
No, the issue is
treatment under the law.
You do not seem to ever see the same conspiratorial problems when it's a Republican.
See? Chuck did better. And then there was the matter of him getting the handed a fact-checked list of all the crap that Nitwit Nero did trying to weaponize the federal government. And by the way, Jacket Off is losing again. The Department of Justice told him to go piss up a rope again some more. Assistant Attorney General Carlos Uriarte told Jim Jacket Off Jordan and Representative Mike Johnson that longstanding DOJ rules prevent it from disclosing documents related to ongoing investigations. It's not like that's a new idea.
It came in the form of a letter with the DOJ telling Jim Jacket Off Jordan to go pound sand, in the politest terms possible. It was a multi-page affair. And it was just a very long way of saying, fuck off. Which is exactly what should be said day in and day out every time. I don't care if he says good morning. Fuck off, Jim. And I hope they stick to their guns. It would be wonderful if they did. So, just help. I hope it doesn't embarrass him too much. Or actually, I hope it doesn't embarrass him too little. This idea of a weaponized FBI is such monumental garbage.
Why didn't they raid Biden's house? Yeah.
But Joe Biden. Can you imagine what it must be like? And I guess you have to be ideologically aligned. Can you imagine what it must be like to be a member of his staff? Ugh. Just ugh. Hey, thank you, Darlene. Darlene just got us ever so much closer. We are at $125 to go now in reaching our tripling challenge, our massive tripling challenge. They'll get us half done with what we've got to reach the end of the month. Thank you, Darlene. So far, it's a sorority. Ralph's and Charlene and Darlene, the sorority of Leans. Scott in San Diego said, boy. The password is boy. I picked right up on it, too. He caught himself, but he wanted to use that pejorative with every fiber of his sleazy being, Jim Jacket Off Jordan did. This, Mr. Nichols, this. I'll bet you if you rerun the tape, you'll see his lips forming a B word before he pulled a switch with his this, Mr. Nichols, jive. Well, it would be in character now, wouldn't it? It absolutely would fit. Oh, and while we're let's move away from Jim Jacket Off Jordan and go to another. Well, Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis. Now that Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis has banned the teaching of an AP African-American Studies, African-American History course, claiming that it's woke. Jesus. A pastor named Andy Allen, who pastors at Allendale Methodist Church, said, when I heard my governor say that this class was of little educational value and that it was sending the message to, you know, black and brown students that they're of little educational value, and I wanted to make sure that I sent the message that they are of immeasurable value and that when the history is written, they will be filling the pages and the governor is of little value. So he will teach those courses in his church as a means of telling Ron Monkey Up DeSantis to stuff it. Thank you, Henry. Henry just got us down to $100 to go on the challenge. Thank you, Henry. That's tremendous. And we're getting ever so much closer. Thank you.
Pastor Allen went on and said, we have professors who have been stepping up to high school and college level that have been in touch with the College Board. We plan to offer the course for credit. We also plan to offer a version of the course to the general population, because if there's anything that wants the people to make people want to take it more is banning it. So I'd like to thank the governor. And over the weekend, maybe something is coming back to haunt Ron Monkey up DeKlantis. You know, he had a highfalutin education, Harvard, all that stuff, went to law school. And then he joined the Navy. Yeah. And they sent him to knife and fork school, where he learned how to who to salute and how. And he was a member of the JAG Corps, Judge Advocate General. And so now it's coming to light that he may have done some really sick things when he was in the JAG Corps at Guantanamo. He's being accused of torture, which, of course, is actually par for the course with him. You can see Ron Monkey up DeKlantis being a fan of torture. Former Guantanamo inmate Mansour Adifis described what he went through. We had no rights at Guantanamo. We had no power. We had nothing but our bodies and our lives, and we had to use them to bring about change. Going on hunger strike is like entering a dark tunnel, and the light is at the end is death. He wrote that back in September of 2021. Ron Monkey up DeKlantis rose to the level of lieutenant commander in the Navy. I'm trying to think what that would be equivalent to in Army or Air Force terms. Never mind. But Monkey Up has tried to keep his service, his experiences in places like Fallujah and Guantanamo Bay, kind of on the down low. He won't be interviewed about it. He claims he still serves in the Navy Reserve, but the Navy Reserve says, nuh-uh. He was, among other things, Assistant Urinalysis Coordinator. From March 2006 through early January 2007, DeSantis's primary duty was a trial counsel, meaning a prosecutor. Other officers who served alongside DeSantis have talked about a darker time. Well, Abdul Rahman Ahmed, also known as Mansour Adafi, said that DeSantis observed and allowed and participated in illegal acts of torture to help put down a hunger strike in 2006 by dozens of detainees. Adafi was interviewed and he said, I saw a fucking handsome person who was coming. He said, I'm here to ensure that you're treated humanely. And we said, okay, this is our demand, you know, we're not asking for much. And then DeSantis went on and said, and if you have any problems, if you have any concerns, if you have, just talk to me. And we were drowning in that place. I'm like, oh, this is cool. That person actually writing something. He'll raise the concerns. But it was a piece of the game. What they were doing, they were looking to what's going to hurt you more to use against you. And said DeSantis watched with amusement while he and other concentration camp prisoners
were force-fed inshore through a nasal feeding tube that had been shoved down their gullets. He was there. He was watching us. We were crying, screaming. We were tied to the feeding chair, and that guy, he was watching that. He was laughing, basically, when they used to feed us because our stomach cannot hold this amount of Ensure. They used to pour Ensure one can after another, one can after another. So when he approached me, I said, this is the way we're treated. He said, you should start to eat. And I threw up on his face, literally on his face. Does this fit with him? It does to me. And all of this barely covered. And again, far too many people were completely okay with it. And that, well, that's sick. Adafi said, so we couldn't handle it for 5 days. They just kept pouring the Ensure, and in 1 week they break all the hunger strikers. In 1 week, totally, it was a mission, and he was there. All of them was watching the colonel, officers, you know, doctors, nurses. And not just that, they used to also beat us. And if we scream or pain, bleeding came out from our nose and mouth, they're like, eat. The only word they told you, eat, eat, eat. You know, we were beaten all day long, all day. There's a team. Whatever you do, they just beat you. Pepper spray, beating, sleep deprivation. That continued for 3 months, and he was there because at the beginning he told us that he was there to ensure we were treated humanely. This guy is a torturer, a criminal. And he's certainly living according to type now. Behaving according to type. Because what he, you know, the things he's been doing of late, we talked about it last week. They are a form of torture, without a doubt. Subject line, JAG officers, what the fuck? Lindsey Graham and Ron DeSantis were JAG officers. I can only wonder how many lives were destroyed with undeserving bad conduct and dishonorable discharges. These two racist and homophobic creeps are not the fair and impartial types. No, they are not. And going back to policing, Ron and Raleigh says, here's part of the problem. I'm sure you've heard of police warrior training. This training trains police to look at citizens as the enemy. Yeah, everyone is guilty. Presumed guilty. You know, it's a running gag among cops that, you know, they only arrest the guilty ones. You know, it's horrifying. Oh, and by the way, this happened over the weekend. You may recall last year when the governor of Utah, Spencer Cox, vetoed a trans sports ban and was hailed as he said, I don't understand these people, but I want them to live. And everybody said, well, look at that. He's a decent human being. Well, that's been recalled because he signed into law a ban on any form of gender care for trans kids. The only redeeming part of the bill that he signed into law is the fact that kids who are already receiving hormonal therapy, and by kids, I mean, you know, we're talking about 16-year-olds, okay? Not 4-year-olds. Kids who have been counseled, had therapy, all of that,
and finally get to take the make the moves to make them who they need to be. Well, essentially, they've banned the only safe and effective treatment for trans kids that exists. And out in Utah, trans kids will die. They will. It's not speculative. And they're okay with that. And I was corresponding with a woman I know out there. Just, you know, sent her a message saying, you know, keep the faith. And she said, it's hard. And I said, well, yeah, I know. I'm in West Virginia. And she said, oh, that bill. Because she knows about SB 252. And she said, the thing most people don't understand is that now that they've done this, they'll take another step because they're not done. They're not going to be done until, and this is, you know, this is a woman who is an adult. My God, she was a submariner. And she said, the next thing will be to take it away from people who are already way down the road in their transition and forcible detransition. The LA Times published an op-ed and said that these Republicans have especially targeted the transgender community. The reason the LA Times wrote isn't hard to discern. In their crass and cruel quest for targets to unite their base against, they'd run out of acceptable candidates for discrimination and abuse. Open racism was no longer socially acceptable, though it has made a strong comeback lately in Trump's wake. It's no longer respectable to make fun of the mentally ill, the homeless, the disabled. LGBTQ people have moved into the mainstream of culture and society. Even conservative and Republican families have found themselves accepting LGBTQ siblings, children, and parents. Gay and lesbian characters in Hollywood movies and TV shows have evolved from those whose homosexuality set them apart to those who are just like everyone else, except gay and lesbian, and to those whose homosexuality is irrelevant to the story or their role in it. In the Republican world, transgender people are among the last who can safely be depicted as the other. Gender identity is still a perplexing topic for Americans. That makes it easy to caricature and easy to paint transgender people and the assistance their families are trying to provide them as somehow strange and nefarious. I was talking with Ms. Terry earlier today, and she said Alabama has weird laws, but they've got some really screwy laws about when the legislature meets. You know, things about months with R's in them and whatnot. And so the Alabama legislature will not meet this year until March. And that's when she says she expects the next wave of nastiness to come. And she's not wrong. Thank you, Clarence. Clarence in South Carolina, or perhaps on the road, I do not know which. Thank you, Clarence. We are now down to $75 to go in the massive 3-for-1 challenge. $75, and that would get us, that would be tripled to turn it into, the whole thing would result in carving our deficit in half and get us down to only $750 to go. That's wonderful. Thank you, Clarence. Killing trans kids in Utah, Stephen New York asks, how is this any different than withholding psychotropic meds from people like me, or insulin from a diabetic, or chemotherapy from a cancer patient? Well, it is and it isn't different. Withholding life-saving medication is brutal and hateful and vile and evil. And so these medications are life-saving. I know that for I know that for myself. And I know that to be the case with every person I know who is on them. The other thing, though, is, you know, unlike cancer, being trans isn't a disease.
It's a state of being that requires correction. It's like the metformin I take every day to manage my blood sugar. By the way, this morning, yay, hooray for me, I got my lowest number yet. I checked my blood sugar the minute I woke up, and lo and behold, 98. Yes, yes. So I'm doing things right, and I feel really good about it. And I was just absolutely tickled pink when I saw that number. The LA Times op-ed by Michael Hiltzik points out, of course, Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis, noting that DeSantis, the nation's most thuggish culture warrior, enormously discriminatory parental rights and education law, known familiarly as the Don't Say Gay law, makes clear that the transgender community is the true target. How many parents want their kids to have transgenderism or something injected into classroom instruction? Now, I think clearly right now we see a focus on transgenderism, like it's a religion, telling kids they may be able to pick genders and all of that. It's not a matter of picking them. It's not a matter of wanting to or becoming. It's what we've been all along. And so, Spencer Cox in Utah, once thought to be at least a marginally decent Republican, I know, the bar for that is so low. No more. He said, more and more experts, states, and countries around the world are pausing these permanent and life-altering treatments for new patients until more and better research can help determine the long-term consequences. Well, the long-term consequences are the kids live. And the long-term consequences without it are far too many don't. So we will wait to see how the legislative challenge to that goes. They just bought themselves. Yeah, they do these things, and they know they're going to spend a fortune on it, but suddenly, fiscally, when it comes to hate, a Republican can always find the money to support it. No, Steve, you got nothing to worry about. I didn't mean to equate being trans with a disease. I apologize for that. No, you're fine. It's not fully, it's not fully understood. We don't even necessarily know its origins. But it is amazing the change it can make in one's life. And, of course, well, more on Monday and all. Since we've been in Florida anyway. Legislation's been introduced in the Florida legislature that will make carrying a concealed weapon something that Floridians can do without having to get a concealed weapon permit. It's referred to as constitutional carry, which is a horseshit term right up there with constitutional originalism. It was bad enough that Geraldo Rivera showed up to debate, if you can call it that, the Hannity job, and brought a musket with him and said, here, this is what they were talking about. And State Representative Chuck Brannon held a press conference in Tallahassee, Stan, and said, the bill that I will file later today continues to advance Second Amendment freedoms through legislation known as constitutional carry. I believe Floridians have a right to bear arms to protect themselves. I can't wait until the bill gets introduced in the legislature to make sure that women do not have the right to display bare arms, just like Missouri.
protect themselves, their families, and their property without government interference. This bill's a big step to help the average law-abiding citizen keep from having to go through the hoops of getting a permit from the government to carry their weapons. Whether they're sane or not.
And, of course, they had some token law enforcement creeps there.
Well, this will help us protect our law-abiding citizens.
Representing Brandon said,
criminals are getting guns anyway. They're breaking into houses, they're breaking into cars, and they're carrying guns illegally. They don't care what the law says. We're only giving our law-abiding citizens a simpler way to have the ability to protect themselves, their families, their homes, and their places of business.
All this protect themselves bullshit is just another way to say, to kill people. Because, you know, if you pull a gun on a home intruder, well, they're not going to run away because they see a gun. No. And so if Florida becomes a carry them if you got them state, that will make 26 states of the union that are. More than half. And somewhere in that mirrored glass cube of a building outside D.C., the National Ruble Association is masturbating furiously in absolute joy at another step being taken. To turn this country into a free fire zone. And then repeat the same old tired talking points.
Criminals know they need to get a permit. Not one of them. Nope, they don't care about obeying the law. Our law-abiding citizens have that immediate right to guarantee and the freedom to go protect themselves. We as Florida sheriffs stand solidly behind this, and we stand behind the oath that we took to protect the United States Constitution and the Constitution of Florida. It's in the Constitution!
God, God, God. Well, this ought to make for some interesting, more interesting Florida man stories. And then, today, in Manhattan, the district attorney's office began presenting evidence to a grand jury about the role that Nitwit Nero played in paying hush money to Stormy Daniels. And, one of the chief witnesses will be one of the folks who helped spike those stories, a guy named David, because, of course, Pecker, from the National Enquirer. David Pecker was seen entering the courthouse in Lower Manhattan today, presumably to give testimony to the grand jury. Other members of the National Enquirer group, as well as Nitwit Nero's own personal shitheads from the Trump Organization, are also expected to testify. Jeffrey McConney and Deborah Tarasoff haven't testified yet, but are expected to. The former editor of the National Enquirer, Dylan Howard, also expected to testify. And they're even delving into the staff for Julius Geezer's 2016 campaign. It's a kind of a watch this space sort of matter. You can bet your ass, Ron in Raleigh says, I will not be going to Florida where not only woke goes to die, but black folks as well. Bunch of gunned up Florida crackers standing their ground. Remember the guy that shot into a car full of teenagers because they wouldn't turn down their music? Yeah, I do. I do. Disgusting. And, well, I can just imagine that the concealed carry swimwear fashion will be all the thing up and down South Beach, or maybe up toward Daytona, Jacksonville. Over on the Gulf Coast side, they'll be big. Yeah. Concealed carry bikini tops. Men's Speedos with a holster bulge. Shoot your dick off, son. Sorry. And then this. I ran across this one after we got out of the got done with the program on Friday and just kind of sat. Well, probably going to have to talk about this. A 4-star general in the United States Air Force. There's nothing. His name may not be Jack D. Ripper, but he's got the vibe. General Mike Minahan, the head of Air Mobility Command, said in a memo that he sent around to the officers that he commands, said, I hope I'm wrong. My gut tells me we will fight in 2025. They're the transport and refueling arm of the Air Force, Air Mobility Command. He said he expects Xi Jinping to move on Taiwan in 2024 because there will be presidential elections in both Taiwan and the U.S. And went on to say, during the month of February, all Air Mobility Command personnel should fire a clip into a 7-meter target with the full understanding that unrepentant lethality matters most. Aim for the head. And tells them to update their records and emergency contacts. Then he says in March that Air Mobility Command personnel need to consider their personal affairs and whether a visit should be scheduled with their servicing base legal office to ensure they are legally ready and prepared. I don't think there was anything in the memo about precious bodily fluids, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was. NBC News had this story. This isn't something coming from Fox. Worrisome. Yeah, this too. Thank you for reminding me. I had it in the stack. Kim in New York writing. Well, thank you. Congratulations on your low blood sugar number today. Thank you so much, Kim. But I did. So there's an investigation going on in the Buckeye State because a couple there, I wish I was kidding, I am not. There's a couple there that runs a homeschooling network of some 2,400 members. And here's the thing. They're being investigated by the Ohio Department of Education because the homeschooling methods that they teach are designed to raise good Nazis. I don't know how many times I have to say it, but y'all, we have a Nazi problem. David Gilbert writing says, earlier this month, while the rest of the country was celebrating the achievements of civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., parents and children in the dissident homeschool network opened a lesson plan and were greeted with the words, "As Adolf Hitler wrote," and continues, "The contents of the MLK lesson plan would be shocking for almost anyone, but for members of the 2,400-member dissident homeschool Telegram channel, this is just a regular Monday at school." The administrator of the Nazi program said, "It is up to us to ensure our children know him for the deceitful, dishonest, riot-inciting Negro he actually was. He is the face of a movement which ethnically cleansed whites out of urban areas and precipitated the anti-white regime that we are now fighting to free ourselves from." They've been going since October of 2021. They openly espouse Nazi ideology. They teach, they tell the parents to teach their children not to play with non-white children or even have any contact with Jesus. And I guess, and this is the creepy part, it's all okay. It's okay to be a Nazi in America. Because freedom. And that's how fascism wins. They use the legal principles of an open society to take power, and then they quash all those liberal principles. What do you do? With people like this. And a greater question, does a nation, does a community have the right to know that it has Nazis in its midst and who those Nazis are? Do they really have a right to walk among us and not at least be known for who they are? I'm a liberal. I'm a lefty. I'm not ashamed of it. I'll tell anybody. Maybe there are some consequences. Why shouldn't there be consequences for being a Nazi? Just gobsmacks me. Yeah, it is the Ohio Department of Education that's doing the investigation. Logan and Katya Lawrence are the is the couple that operates this Nazi network. And their goal, and this is a quote, is to raise children up who will become wonderful Nazis. Katya Lawrence, who is 37, among other things, tells the group about how she baked a Führer cake for Hitler's birthday. And how she records her and sends out and shares recordings of her children screaming Sieg Heil. Over at the Ohio Department of Education, the interim superintendent of public instruction, Stephanie Siddons, said, "I'm outraged and saddened. There's absolutely no place for hate-filled, divisive, and hurtful instruction in Ohio's schools, including our state's homeschooling community. I emphatically and categorically denounce the racist, anti-Semitic, and fascist ideology and materials being circulated. Well, that's not where the hate, that's not the only place where the hate can be found. And the thing is, to homeschool your kid in Ohio, they have to provide 900 hours of instruction per year. They have to notify the superintendent every year and provide an assessment of the student's work. And that's it. Nothing in there about not being Nazis. But of course, in the rules governing homeschooling, they did make sure to point out that no homeschooling parents can be compelled to teach a curriculum that is contrary to their sincerely held religious beliefs. Yeah. So now we're going to have Nazis pleading that their Nazism is a part of their sincerely held religious belief. And you know what? I believe them. Carmen Longoria Green is a lawyer and a board president of the Coalition for Responsible Home Education. She said, I don't know whether religious beliefs are part of why the Lawrences have embraced this fascist ideology, but to the extent that they are, the Ohio statutes would expressly protect that type of instruction. And the question is, how do you, can you even stop that? What happens to the children who have been turned into little monsters by their parents when they go out into the wider world? I don't know. But it doesn't give me a good feeling. Makes me wonder if maybe that's where your next school shooter may come from. And this just came across my feed. President Biden sent a note to Congress today that the national emergencies to combat the COVID outbreak will come to an end on May the 11th. Republicans wanted to end it immediately. But the White House in its statement said an abrupt end to the emergency declarations would create wide-ranging chaos and uncertainty throughout the healthcare system for states, for hospitals and doctors' offices, and most importantly, for tens of millions of Americans. I'm not for sure, but I think that means if you haven't gotten your booster, go get it. Because it does work. And right now it's free. And a shockingly low number of Americans have even gotten it. Because, among other things, Title 42, a public health measure that's affected so many immigrants, will be ended. And tens of millions of additional Medicaid funding that allowed people to keep their Medicaid during the pandemic will also go away. And what's curious, of course, in all of this is that COVID hasn't gone away. As to the Nazis, Steve in New York says, stopping the little Nazilings. No more state funding for homeschoolers. If you want to school your children at home, have at it. We the people won't pay for it. And one wonders the degree to which we, you know, do pay for it. But we're well past the halfway mark of the evening's program. even though I missed the first 10, 15 minutes of it. Sorry. We got $75 to go on the massive 3-for-1 challenge. Just $75, and we will be halfway done with the whopping deficit that we have right now. It'll cut it from $1,500 to $750. So if anybody wants to jump in on the challenge, that would be fantastic. And for now, let's run over to the Skype line, check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Robin. Happy Monday.
Well, happy Monday. You said it was less than a sterling Monday out there at Shea Guru.
Well, it is and it isn't. I'm getting ready for an inspection toward the end of February. For my housing allotment and stuff. So I've got to putter around more often than I otherwise would. And with a gimp leg, I mean, it's better, but it ain't well, So
You're on the way, though. But you,
yeah, on my way. On my way. But I will explain in a moment why I have the black crepe hung around the sitting room here at Shea Guru. But... just talk about Nazis. I think back, there's only two movies that I can remember that I actually saw three times each in a theater. One of them was MASH, the Robert Altman film.
All right.
And the other was The Producers, the Mel Brooks movie, Springtime for
Hitler. I thought you were going to say Judgment at Nuremberg, but...
No. And I don't know what it was that drew me. Well, I know what drew me to both of those films. They were both very well done, very funny in spots, and they both made valid points, which apparently some of us have not heeded. I'm speaking in terms of The Producers, where they put on a play, a musical, written by a Nazi who lives
Springtime for Hitler, yes,
on a rooftop with his pigeons and his German helmet with a little spot of bird poo. Brilliantly,
and it was all done as a ruse to deliberately lose money and make a fortune.
Right, the worst possible play that you could possibly put on, and this former Nazi living on a rooftop in Manhattan, wrote this love letter to Hitler. And so Gene Wilder and Jerry Mostel figured, well, this has got to be the worst thing that we can present, intending to lose money but actually make money, by closing the show after one performance. But because they had more backers than they actually needed. Anybody who's seen the movie knows this. But I'm thinking... there's a line that is sung from one of the songs in the show as the show goes on, and I believe it's the voice of Mel Brooks dubbed over the actor who's actually seen in the scene. Don't be a dummy, be a smarty. Come and join the Nazi party. Well, that's a joke, people. It's not a recruitment drive, for fuck's sake.
No, and I've actually heard Mel Brooks, I think he was speaking with Terry Gross, and he talked about why he made fun of Nazis.
Yeah.
And he said it was the only avenue. They're vicious and they're hateful, and so they have to be relentlessly mocked.
And that film was released in 67, which is what, barely, not, let's see, 45 to 55 is 10 years. 55 to 65 is 20 years. That's not even a quarter century past the actual war, So it was probably a good time to make fun, or he might have been a decade too late. Because
And curiously, that's roughly the same time that Hogan's Heroes is having its success.
Yeah, mid-60s, and it ran for... I don't know, 4 or 5 seasons. But apparently, you can't make fun of them in a way. You can't make light of something like that although it's a release, it gives you a chance to point and make fun. But they don't like to be made fun of. I found that out when we went, some of my fellow high schoolers in my junior year, they had a white power rally down at the Market Square in Alexandria. So about 40 of us decided to go and hoot and holler and, you know, not interrupt their free speech, but punctuate it from time to time. And, you know, violence did not ensue because, you know, back then, I don't know, they were more gutless than they currently are, less willing to start something. But I don't know. And you asked, I don't know rhetorically or not, what do we do about this? I'm afraid there's nothing that can be done. I'm afraid that the disease may have to run its course.
But do you even? I mean, and this isn't a challenge.
Do I hear myself? Is that what you want?
No, I was going to. But do you even know what it means to let it run its course?
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. I have a pretty good impression of what that is going to. And by run its course, I don't mean full tilt boogie, but not the ultimate run its course. I'm talking about it's not going to stop of its own accord. We know that. And we also
know what it requires is for people. A, you have to out these people. And yeah. If you're a Nazi, there's no ethical argument to be had that says you shouldn't be outed as a Nazi. Nazis are toxic. Nazis are poisonous. Yeah. Nazis are death to everything we think is our commitment to freedom and democracy. So, you know, these Nazis in Ohio, people, you know, in their neighborhood need to know they're Nazis. And then the people themselves have to act and say, I'm sorry, I don't want anything to do with you. You're a Nazi. And the people who employ them have to say, I'm sorry, you can't work here. You're a Nazi.
Yeah, but where in Ohio was this?
Well, I mean, they're on a Telegram channel that's not just in Ohio. I mean, there's 2,400 people subscribed to this thing. And yeah, some people went, wow, it's only 2,400 people. No.
The reason I ask is one of the things I found out when I moved to Cincinnati, it was settled in a lot of ways by German folks. And I thought if it was like a suburb of Cincinnati...
Oh, that reminds me of something I said to Steve in New York last night, you know, after watching the AFC Championship game. I said, Cincinnati has nothing to be ashamed of, .. except that goddamn chili.
Now, wait a minute. There are so many different varieties of it that you can't be disappointed
if
by
it's sweet and it has cinnamon and allspice in it, yes, I can.
Yeah, but not all of them do. Some have cocoa.
Actually, there's an argument to be made for cacao in chili because it's all just a mole.
Yeah.
Mole being a...
But anyway, what did you say to Steve?
No, I just said nothing to be ashamed. But Cincinnati, yeah, there's a huge... there was a lot of... But I don't necessarily... What were these people's names? Yeah, here we go. Let me just... Logan and Katya Lawrence.
I don't think Lawrence is more a British name, isn't it? Or a
mm-hmm. Yeah.
T.E. Lawrence, wasn't he a Brit?
Uh-huh.
Of Arabia? I don't know if you wanted an answer or we're just posing the question rhetorically. I don't know, other than to out them and to explain to people, not necessarily to them, because they don't confuse me with the facts. My mind's made up. It is their attitude. I don't want to, and you can't make me, you know, it's as many two-year-olds use as their reasoning in life. And this is not to disparage most two-year-olds, but outing them will help, informing the public that the situation is more dire than most people can grasp, because you know how it is with situations. If it ain't happening here, it ain't happening. And by here, I mean my neighborhood or my city or town or, you know, cul-de-sac in the, you know, wide spot in a country road, although it's more likely to happen there. But even that's not a safe bet anymore. It's not a rural phenomenon. You don't have to be a shit kicker to buy into this stuff. And I mean no disrespect to shit kickers. Personally, I tend to step over it. But, you know, do what you will. That's, you know. But it's disheartening. You know, when you look at the current situation, but what do you do about it? Well, to the extent that it is safe to do so, let them put on their little parades and stuff. Let them do their little speeches. But one toe over the line and crack down. And some people say, well, freedom, you know, liberty, you know, sit, liberty, sit. I did it before you did. You know, that we shouldn't infringe upon people's right to free speech and expression. But there is something where words actually can incite. This is what they got. Do you remember the riots in Cambridge, Maryland, on the Eastern Shore in 67, I guess? I think it was Rap Brown was arrested and tried for inciting a riot through his words. Although, as I recall, he didn't do any such thing. He was articulating the rage and anger of the people, but he didn't urge them to go, you know, throw stones through, you know, store windows or burn and loot or anything like that. As I recall, it's been a while, but I don't think he did. But you know how the power structure works. They will use any pretext or pretense. Well, hell, we found this out in Memphis. We're still not clear why young Mr. Nichols was made an example of, a victim of, by these
lynched
people. Well, lynched, yeah. I mean, they didn't necessarily use rope.
No, rope is not a requirement.
No, it's a mindset. It's an action.
Yeah.
It's a form of lynching shows up in many forms. You know, it's just
like I said earlier, cops doing the lynching is not at all an unknown thing.
No, it's not a rare phenomenon. It truly is not. And it's gotten to the point where it's hard to keep track because we've had so many. And you don't have to go back to the 60s or the 50s or further back. We have got a slew of instances in our own life and times. I mean, it's as current as today's headlines because it comprises much of today's headlines. You know? Yet
yeah.
There are people who are going to deny, and they're going to say, well, I'm not doing it. You know? And that's good for you. It's good that you're not. It's good that you're a decent human being and don't engage in such madness. But there's something about assent. Giving one's... Yeah, there used to be a quote that I knew having to do with the responsibility to speak up and speak out and take a stand when you're presented with behavior that's aberrant or hateful or both. I can't remember it, but, you know, it we've got to stand up and speak out and give... Be good examples in life, each and every one of us. But at the same time, we've got to call the people out, like you say, and out them and be absolutely clear as a bell what they're up to and why it matters. You know? I'm not telling you anything new, but you get what I mean.
Sure.
But it's just horrendous.
Well, Steve said, running its course, no. I propose a three-pronged plan to crowd them out of the public square. Identification, ridicule, education.
Education not necessarily for them, but for the populace in general.
Well, let people learn what it looks like when people get found out to be Nazis.
Yeah, yeah. And also teaching, what's that old song, Teach Your Children Well? Of course, now that's a crapshoot in today's public school system. Because we don't want the teaching of children of actual history. God forbid. You know? But I was going to tell you to get to a more lighter topic, although it pisses me off. The reason the black crepe is hung here, I
was wondering if you'd get around to that.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about something serious first, you know, about 18 months ago, I was all ready to get rid of my TV service, my cable TV service, which is provided by AT&T. It's called U-verse.
Okay.
I have my internet through them, and I have my TV service through them. But there's been rate creep. And basically what they did was give me a discount, but it wasn't it had a terminus, and the terminus just arrived and bumped up my monthly cost of this thing for TV and internet to the tune of like nearly $60. And I was not happy with it. And I talked to the people this morning to see if they would, you know, consider, you know, I kind of phrased it this way. I said, well, are there any other specials going on? And she said, no, we don't have any specials for your TV service. So basically I cut back to the lowest tier of TV that I could get. And I kept HBO because I like, you know, the movies and stuff. And they actually threw in a couple of movie channels, I guess, while I wasn't totally happy. But I don't have my MSNBC anymore. I don't have my CNN. I don't have my C-SPAN. Well, I can get C-SPAN online, and I can get the audio of CNN and MSNBC. But sometimes you want to see the pictures, especially like this past week. You want to see, as awful as it was, you want to see it with your own eyes so that you can...
Some do, some don't. I was talking with Tracy about it, and she said part of the reason she didn't tune in on Friday was because... she knew I'd be running it, and she said, you know, she said, I don't need to see it.
No, I don't guess any of us do, really.
She said, I know in my bones what they did. And the same with the murder of George Floyd.
Oh, God, yeah, that's... I can't breathe.
And so, you know, I had that clip at the beginning of the program of Jim Jordan saying, well, I don't guess there's anything we can do. It's just evil people.
Well, I actually took, I told you in my email, I took one for the team and watched his little
made it 5 minutes in, yeah.
No, I watched the whole thing, but I was ready to retch after the first 5 minutes or so. Because the guy is just irretrievably stupid. I mean, no, he's not stupid. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows the purpose for which he engages in such nonsense.
Right, and he knows who he's playing and for what and for what stakes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a virtuoso performance. Not virtuous, but virtuoso, okay? But it's like... we don't need this. This is not helpful. This is not beneficial to the populace, to the citizenry, to the country. And yet they will not stop, not willingly. And they're just Nazis without the fucking uniforms and the shiny boots when it comes right.
And that's how
it.
And that's how fascism always begins. You don't get the spiffy uniforms until you're well into fully established. You know, that long before the Hugo Boss, the Germans were using the Hugo Boss uniforms, they were just brown shirts.
Yeah. And I cower when the UPS guy comes because of that brown shirt phenomenon. No, I don't actually. I don't know. I'm not well. Maybe I've inhaled too much dust.
You're okay.
Pitching and sorting and cleaning.
Huffing those navy bean soup fumes didn't help you any.
No, wait. You know, I could. It's a cold, chilly.
Yeah, wouldn't it just be the day?
Either chili or some of that good old navy bean soup. But I'm making slow, pardon me, slow but steady progress with this, and I'm sure I will pass the inspection. But I just see, this is where procrastination does not help. You must, once you get the place spick and span, as it were, it's just a matter of a little regular maintenance, and then you don't have to break your back getting it handled. And I've known this all my life, but do I follow through in an appropriate manner? No. Why? Because I procrastinate. Why? Because I've got better things to do than my duty to my own well-being and domicile and stuff. So it's my own damn fault, and I realize this, and I own up to it. Of course, now I say this now, it's not quite the 1st of February. As we get toward the 28th or whenever it is, I should be done way before then. I think I used the example with my brother the other night. I said, it's like eating an elephant. You can do it, but you must do it one bite at a time. And that's what I'm doing. I'm pacing myself.
That's the only way. Yeah, I think we talked about that Friday.
Oh, did I tell you about the heavy-duty pain meds?
The ones that you found? Yes.
Yeah, well, I hadn't really realized that they had included a goodly supply.
I wouldn't say that publicly. There's some pillhead out there that's going to want to find Che Guru.
You didn't let me finish. I gave them away.
Oh. Is it even legal to do that?
No, I took them down to the cop shop, the police people, because they don't, if you have old medicine that you don't need or don't intend to take, and you don't want to leave around the house, and you're afraid to put them out in the garbage because they already root through the garbage. Not the garbage, but the recycling bin. I wish they'd come to the door. Just be man enough or lady enough to come to the door and ask for my plastic. I will give them plastic. See, that's part of the problem with the sorting and pitching. I've got to figure a way to get these fucking pop bottles that I used to take down to the recycling center every third week. That's going to be an adventure. We'll see how that plays out.
Well, you mentioned black crepe, and this just came across my feed, so this will be well, this just sucks.
I hope it's not anybody. Are you going to report a death?
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
Cindy Williams.
Oh, man.
Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, and American Graffiti, as I recall.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I wish you hadn't have told me that. I could have gone
after a brief illness, the obit says.
She couldn't have been any more than her late 60s?
75.
Was she that? I didn't realize she was older than me by that much. See, I think of people like Ron Howard and Clint Howard, and people that I grew up looking at on television as being my contemporaries, because they were. They are.
She actually studied acting alongside Robert De Niro and Sally Fields.
I think I knew that. God, I'm so sorry to hear that. Man. Oh, well.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, it does. How are you doing? Enough about what goes on here. What goes on there? Are you okay?
I'm turning 60 tomorrow, so, you know.
Yeah, I heard you mention that.
It messes with my mind a little bit, but it's all the birthdays are happy ones these days.
you know, well, circumstances yeah, should, being I, what they are.
I should say, and this, I think you'll find that it's more of a cultural thing where they try to fuck with your thinking when it comes to growing older. We both live in a world, you actually more than I, where we're going to outlive a lot of people, barring anything unforeseen, because of the advancements that have been made in diet and
well, diet. And medicine that I don't have health insurance for. Yeah.
Well, you said you take the.
I take my meds every morning. And,
now, how many of the metformins do you have to take?
I take 1.5 grams, 1,500 milligrams.
So that's three.
Yeah, that's three of the 500s. Yeah.
See, when they first put me on it years ago, they wanted me to do three, and I found that they were they messed with my innards, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
They do that from time to time, yes.
And so I just said I'm going to take one in the morning and one at night and see what my blood
My doc said that I could just take them all in the morning and just have done, and so that's what I do.
Oh, how in the world do you?
Well, I crush them up and I form a nice little rail and I snort it off the mirror. I mean, yeah.
No, but I mean
you mean the less than salutary side effects?
Yeah, I mean you're it's a wonder you get anything else done.
You know? Wait a minute. I'm so glad we're being very gentle in the way that we're sort of toe dancing around what we're trying to say, and we're not gonna say it.
I learned my lesson a couple of calls back when I was edging off into just so we're gonna hang up on you if you don't quit. Sort of territory. Hold on here. I've got to look on my app and see. Oh, I'm the next stop. Okay. Well, the grocery people are going to be here in probably 10, 20 minutes.
Well, I can happily announce that Karen, thank you, Karen, jumped in and got us down to $55. And I've got a challenge courtesy of Billable Rick. To tack on to the end of this one. Basically, this would wipe out the pre-existing challenge. Billable Rick has found love.
I have heard rumors to that effect. Yeah. Actually, not rumors.
And he says, I haven't connected this meaningfully with anyone since I met my eventual wife back in 1990 when I was only 27. And hence, Billable says, he feels 27 again. And he's found a fellow Iowegian, just like him. So, yeah.
Give him a cowbell.
Hence, he says, I'm making an I feel like 27 again challenge. I'll pledge $27, which can be applied to an extant challenge to be doubled to a total of 54 when met. So, thank you for that, Billable Rick, and congratulations, and much happiness to you.
And, like feeling like you're in your 20s again.
And so that'll get the challenge met, absolutely met. Hallelujah! And that means that we actually will be. Let's see. That actually, if somebody meets the $27, then that means the remaining finish out January number goes down to $723.
By when? The 31st? God damn, that's... What? Today's the 30th, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
7:23 between the remainder of today and then tomorrow. And Theo, by the way, says, hey, Robin, I've got 10 years on you, and I'm still demonstrably an active troublemaker. So, none of this self-questioning, you whippersnapper. Whippersnapperess, gods, I feel so clueless these days, but you take my meaning, I'm certain I do. Whippersnapperette is fine. And I didn't realize it until I saw it back on the 24th. Our dear friend John Britovo is precisely 10 years and 1 week older than me.
another Aquarius. So that explains that. Well, astrology explains everything.
He's still kicking and raising hell and just full of piss and vinegar, as they say.
Yes.
And if you just turned 60 and he's 10 years and a day?
Yep.
Well.
No, 10 years and a week.
A week, or 10 years and a week. Look what you got to look forward to.
And oddly enough, my birthday tomorrow actually falls on the 64th week from my surgery. So that's kind of cool.
Now, answer me this, if there is an answer to be had.
Yes.
When I was 27, I didn't really even feel 27. Sometimes I felt way older, and sometimes I felt the right age, and sometimes I felt younger. I know for a fact I wasn't quite as together as I later have been able to attain. But I'm imperfect and in process. See, that's the key to it. This is how you don't get frustrated, is to realize it's a day by day situation, because you're becoming, it's an ever present tense, if you will. We're in a constant state of becoming. And just as our cells, I know our skin cells all get shed on a regular basis, so that after X number of years, you're literally, in terms of your skin, your epidermis, you're not the same person.
With very limited exceptions, every cell in your body has been replaced every 7 years.
Oh, it's all the cells.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
I think maybe brain cells and nerve cells might be a little bit different, but
how about the heart? You couldn't get a new heart, could you? Well, maybe you could. Some of us need one. And I don't mean because of clogged arteries. I mean,
by the way, Ron and Raleigh reminded us. I mentioned Cindy Williams. We also lost Tom Verlaine of the group Television, seminal, influential punk group.
Guitarist?
Television, yeah, I think.
Yeah, geez.
And the Borg Queen, Anne Wershing, passed on. Young, too. Cancer.
The Borg from one of the Star Trek spinoffs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. You know, you remember when Picard turned into Locutus?
Now, see, I never got past the original series and the movies. And I know that people will point and giggle at news of this, but I don't know.
We've become accustomed to your quixotic viewing habits.
Well, speaking of which, the other night I was flipping through the old YouTube machine and found from the mid-90s, an interview with Charlie Rose and Leonard Nimoy. You remember back during the run of Star Trek, and it was only 3 years, so you might have missed it, some of you. He wrote a book, I Am Not Spock. You remember that?
And yeah.
I think part of it was poetry, part of it was biography, part of it was just his thoughts on life and why he wasn't Spock.
Well, I think it was after the series, and he wrote it because he had just been forever doomed to his Spockness. And eventually he came to terms with it.
Yeah. Well, that's what the 1990s book was. It was titled appropriately, I Am Spock.
And yeah, he rethought it. Yeah, I am. I'm Spock.
Yeah. But, oh God, that was a great show. And it holds up. It really does. The other night I was flipping through the channels, back when I had the channels,
and got
the original Star Trek movie with V'ger and the bald-headed Romulan or whatever the hell she was. Was she a Vulcan also? She was an Indian woman, I
Persis
believe.
Kambada.
In real life.
Beautiful. And I think she passed away years and years and years ago.
She sure did. But, and you know, for the longest time, I didn't think much of that movie. But the more I've watched.
Wow, those interminable scenes. You know, it was the first Star Trek movie, of course. And so everything, just on and on. You know, this is a ship that can go 7 or 9 times the speed of light. and it's going, you know, from, you know, from left to right across the screen, and there are like forever sequences of, yeah.
Yeah, but you've got to remember that.
But we were all just so happy to see the Enterprise again.
Oh God, yes. Yes. And but at first, for the first several years, the first couple of times I saw it, I didn't think much of it. I don't know what the problem was. But the more I have watched it over the years, the more I realized what they were up to. And that it was a good film, and it was good to get the gang back together again. And how many movies were there eventually, all told?
Oh, I don't know, but you know, my all-time favorite is, of course, The Wrath of Khan.
Oh yes,
he tasks
yes.
me.
Yes, oh, except
he tasks
for the,
me, and I shall have him.
Except for the scene where poor Walter Koenig, not Sulu, the other guy, the Russian.
Yeah, Chekhov.
Poor Chekhov gets the creature put into his ear. God, I don't even like Q-tip. I mean, I'm speaking to you wearing earbuds, and even they give me.
Oh, wait a minute! Energy. You get the cowbell for I don't even like Q-tip. And of course, yeah, there were six of them. Randy Radar tells me. And of course, in my head,
six things in his ear.
No, six of the movies. Quit it.
Oh,
I was like, Captain, it was terrible. They put things in our ears.
Yeah. Oh God, that gives me the fucking willies. That's like that scene in the Alien movie with Sigourney Weaver, where she's wearing the helmet, and isn't the thing in the helmet? The little baby.
God, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you. God damn, stop it. I'm freaking myself out. To stop me before I do it again. I won't even have the nerve to open the door and get the groceries when they get here. So.
Well, speaking of which, you probably need to prepare for getting your groceries. And I'm going to find out who's on the stress line.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, I will ring off, because these three-way deals are, I think people need to speak for themselves. Now, you want to take any bets who it is? I'll bet you it's our friend down in Florida, Jerry. I love Jerry. But I'm going to.
I got no idea.
Bid you adieu and good night, Horn family, wherever you are, and be well.
And I hope your grocery order is entirely correct.
They make very few mistakes. Okay, good night, Robin.
All right, see you, Scott. Bye.
See ya.
Okay, that just was kind of abrupt. But, yeah, let's run over to the stress line and see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, Scott, I'm not in Florida.
And you're not Scary Jerry.
Hi, Robin.
Hey, Dave.
And I'm not Scary Jerry. Good evening, Robin. I wanted to let you know, and it's unfortunate that Scott signed off. I did listen to his course backwards, as I promised, the last call. And would you believe it? He had Hail to the Chief being played by the Kalamazoo Kazoo Chorus.
They were wonderful.
Oh, they were great. I mean, you had all skill levels, but they were pretty well together, you know? So I thought that was something. For those of you who haven't gotten Scott's course, go ahead and go and get it.
Yes, absolutely.
You'll enjoy it. You asked when I first started calling you, you asked, what do we do about these Nazis? Well, so far I agree with everything that's been said, but for the homeschooling Nazis, you know, who bake Fuhrer cakes and all that shit. When those kids break the law, or, you know, they get sent to juvie, and, of course, the family courts review the school records and things like that when they're doing their evaluations. When these Nazis come up, and it can be shown that Well, the parents were rather negligent about proper supervision of the children. They should have the children removed from the home, and then, if necessary, prosecuted for abuse. Because,
well, that raises a good question: is teaching Nazism a form of child abuse? So, Ron and Raleigh said a few minutes ago, George Lincoln Rockwell was an American Nazi who was assassinated in Arlington County, Virginia in 1967. I'm sure Scott was around. As far as Nazi homeschoolers are concerned, the conservatives are all about school choice, so if a case gets to the SCOTUS, they'll demand that Nazis get access to funding from the state because of their sincerely held religious Nazi beliefs.
Their Lord and Führer, whoever that Lord and Führer happens to be at the moment. And you may not be far wrong. If you look at the Hate Watch page on the Southern Poverty Law Center's website,
right,
there are a lot of Nazi and fascist groups that have formed churches just for that purpose. The World Church of the Creator is one of them here in Indiana. Those assholes have committed murders down in Monroe County where they're at. They've gone on shooting sprees and all kinds of other bullshit. But, you know, unfortunately, I have a feeling we're getting Weimar'd out of our existence. Oh, we've got a democratic republic. Oh, well, good. And when they're goose-stepping down Pennsylvania Avenue past whoever the Nazi of the moment is, and I was thinking about this ever since Friday when, you know, you said it was Holocaust Remembrance Day. We lost a survivor of the Holocaust who had spent more than 20 years talking about his experience. And that's the actor Robert Clary.
Yes, yes. He passed away recently.
And if the Shoah Foundation has a project where they have interviewed survivors over the years and taken witness testimony. They did a two-hour segment with him. And he was 16 when he was captured by the Nazis. His mother had sent him upstairs to hide with his sister. His sister got away. He didn't want to because his mother and father were security to him. He didn't want to listen to his big sister. He was 16 years old. And, you know, 16-year-old young men have thoughts of their own. Fortunately for him, you also find out that a couple of German communists and one Czechoslovakian communist helped save his life because they were in charge of the work details and things like that. He was in Buchenwald, which... And he was on the edge of death more than a couple of times. Just the horror. And he's been very open about his experience. And, you know, and he said he never, he never heard the epithets thrown at him or anything like that, because where he lived, everybody was Jewish. And when his parents and the families in this apartment house weren't home, these ladies would come in and teach the kids. You know, they would have school, and they would have they would look after them. And one of these women ended up becoming a companion of Golda Meir.
My goodness.
And he ran into her in a reunion of survivors in Israel. And I thought, it's amazing how people can react to some of the most horrible things on earth and still come out with their humanity. And then you have people who celebrate cruelty, and they celebrate divisiveness for the sake of nothing less than money and power.
That's usually sufficient. But, you know, I had it's interesting you would bring that up, because I had a note from our pal Cynthia out in the Bay Area, who, by the way, had her birthday this past Saturday. Happy birthday, Cynthia. Oh,
happy birthday to her, and happy birthday to you, too.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm a little early, but okay, there it is.
But she had her birthday and sent an article along, and it was a fascinating read. I'm going to try to pull it up here so that I can at least give you an idea of where to find it. It comes from bigthink.com. It is of recent publication. Cynthia, was your birthday yesterday? Maybe yesterday. Yeah, I think. Yeah. At any rate, happy, happy, happy birthday. She sent along this article from Big Think, Bonhoeffer's Theory of Stupidity. We have more to fear from stupid people than evil ones. Evil is easy to identify and fight against. Not so with stupidity. And it talks about how Dietrich Bonhoeffer had argued that stupidity is worse than evil because stupidity can be manipulated and used by evil people. And that stupidity is almost always required in order for evil to triumph. And that sort of dovetails with, like, you know, Werner Klemperer in Hogan's Heroes, since you were talking about Robert Clary. He said he would play Colonel Klink, but only if the Nazis were constantly made fun of. Because as Stephen New York pointed out, he was a German Jew, and so there were a lot of Nazis who were evil. I think within the framework of this article that Cynthia sent me, there were probably a lot of Nazis who were also fucking stupid.
Well. Fascism and authoritarianism rely on the simple answers. You know, the Catholic Church was great at this during the Middle Ages. Pay, pray, and obey.
Right. Yeah.
And you can't ask for a more authoritarian organization than the Roman Catholic Church.
No.
And I'm saying that as a former practitioner.
Lapsed. Or maybe you've gone all the way to heretic.
Oh, believe me, they burned my ass at the stake.
Well, I did see an article earlier today, as I was doing show prep, in which a cardinal had who was accused of course, child sexual abuse, and he has either resigned or didn't know, either died or moved. Yeah.
And there was one case after Frank came to his papacy where a German archbishop who was at the Vatican, that his job was at the Vatican, had been accused of child molestation, and because he was under the authority of Vatican City, he was put on trial and laitized, which means they stripped him of everything, his right to perform sacramental services, things like that. In other words, they made him a layman again, but they incarcerated him in Vatican City. Now, I don't know if the offense had occurred at the Vatican or not. If it had occurred outside of the Vatican, I think they should have gone ahead and laitized him and then turned him over to the appropriate authorities where, you know, he committed the crime. But, yeah, a lot of these guys will die without ever admitting anything. My family went to a church in Muncie where the pastor, who was dying of cancer years later, admitted to molesting a young man. And he admitted it right before he died. And the young man's mother said, well, at least God took him. You know, we don't have to worry about him doing anything anymore. But it's this whole mentality of, I'm going to let you do the thinking for me, whether that's the church, whether that's your politicians, whether that's your family members, whatever it is. That's where all this gets going. And you mentioned Rockwell. You know, he was the basis for the Henry Gibbons character in Blues Brothers.
Yes, yes.
Because Rockwell was in Illinois. It was a freedom of speech case, and ironically, the goddess of irony, always being on the alert, he had a lawyer from the ACLU who was Jewish, and they asked his lawyer, why would you defend this man? And he said, because if I don't defend him, who will defend me when it's my turn?
And, you know, maybe that wasn't the sentiment is noble. Let's just say that.
I understand what he was saying, but I would have had to take a hard pass on that one. If that one had dropped on my desk, I'd have been like, no, no, sorry. And I've talked to a few other people, you know, even some attorneys who were like, nah, if that ever landed on, no, no. You know, but you talk about the violence and Jim Jordan, God damn him. I mean, this guy ignores members of the Ohio State wrestling team coming to him and saying, look, this is what's being done to us by the doctor, by the team doctor. And several of these young men have come forward and said that they, you know, contacted him and even contacted him again when he was in the Congress. Of course, he'd rather pose and pretend to be all big and important. But he's the stupid that allows goose-stepping Nazis like Trump, and I'll call him a Nazi, fuck him. He wanted big military parades to aggrandize himself. I need to look up the New York Times article, the 14 points of fascism.
Yeah. I remember when there was a, and it's still out there, of Malloy reading them, and it got a, every one of those central points are all right there to be found. Hey, I need to point out a couple of things. We are $7 away from meeting Billable Rick's challenge, which completed our anonymous benefactor's tripling challenge. And thanks for that goes to our dear sister Jude and to Women's Standing.
Jude said
kicking in $10 for Billable's discovery of love, as I too have been found worthy, imperfect as I am, to have met love within in another. It's enfolded in trust, openness in communicating, in the most tender moments of two people having the experience of oneness. That total consuming acceptance within one's being is flooded. It's a being safely home awareness. Be well, and do be conscious too in sending this out into the ether of the universe as it raises the frequency level for all. Warmly, Jude. Thank you, Jude. And then Jude jumped in and said, by the way, you and Cynthia, and if I'm correct, Lady B and her twin all celebrated their day this month. And Women Standing sends in a small donation filled with a vast amount of love to you wonderful four. Thank you, Jude. Thank you. So, $7 more finishes off Billable Rick's challenge, and that actually will get us down to $723 for, and that just got met by Ralph's. So, Billable's challenge has been met. Our anonymous benefactor's 3-for-1 challenge has been met, and we now have $723 to go to finish the month of January. So that's pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing, considering where you were at the beginning of Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, girl. I am going to be spending next Friday. I believe that's the third. I'll be at Christine's Blind on Friday, because Saturday is her 64th birthday.
Oh my!
And I would remind the Horn Family Community Congregation about what happened 2 years ago, right before her stroke, when I put forward the $62 I would match the next $62, somebody snapped it up immediately matched it. And I was preparing to send in the donation. And Christine, I told her about it. And then she put her 16 bucks in. And so it became a tripling challenge. So
yes, I do remember.
These things do work. These things do work. And thank you all. Thank you so much. You're helping to keep me sane, which is good.
Yeah, that's that's like when our
point of view.
When our buddy Ken up in PA talks about his enlightened self, what is it? Enlightened selfishness or something like that.
Yeah, enlightened self-interest.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is why Christine and I support you, and that I don't know why it would show up twice on Patreon, but there is a donation that's supposed to come out on the 30th out of my PayPal account.
Well, I think you're on Patreon twice, and that comes out on the first day of the month. But then I saw you on the 30th. For
Christine.
Yes.
Yeah. That's Christine's donation. Yeah. Which I'm going to have to change soon, because of February the 28th. God damn it. You can't have a regular calendar in these parts.
No, you can't.
It has shifting. And based on religious sun signs and whatever the hell, you're worried about celebrating Easter in December or some shit. I don't care.
Exactly.
But, those are my thoughts on what you should do with the parents. Unfortunately, I think my recommendation would probably be the most cost efficient. And that's given the island that Fairbanks, Alaska is on. Make it a sovereign country. It's in the middle of a goddamn lake. And then all the right wing nut jobs and all the douchebags will be given one Bible of their choice and one round of ammunition for a weapon of their choice. And they'll be issued one round of ammunition every month for that weapon. Now, if they want to have a fully loaded weapon, they're going to have to trade with their friends and neighbors, or they're going to have to steal it.
Yeah.
Which, knowing these right-wing douchebags, they'll want to steal it, because who wants to pay for anything? But we'll give them their Bibles, and we'll give them their ammunition, and they can designate one of their leaders to walk across the lake and get whatever else they need. Food, medicine, fuel. It's going to make a delivery of electrical services a little difficult, but I'm sure they can, part the lake or whatever, if they just have faith enough. Yeah, I didn't mean to get all permit and written.
No, that's okay. Yeah, faithy. Oh, and by the way, no, do not adjust your earbuds. Do not adjust anything. For some reason, Dave, you're only in one channel. So hopefully that'll get sorted out here in a minute. But I had a question from Scott. Is my device or earbuds? Am I losing my mind? Dave's mostly right channel, and you're coming through fine on both. It's a weird thing that happens with the stress line sometimes.
I'm hearing you just fine. It might be a connection with the stress line.
It's something that happens with the – I see it from time to time. It's just weird.
Yeah. You're coming in crystal clear. And I don't know the thing of it is, how do we react to it? Well, we react to it as humanely as possible. But if they begin violence, we should not be afraid to respond.
Well, in a way, this goes back to January the 6th. There they were, armed to the teeth, and the cops weren't even allowed to shoot back. You know.
How I wish the cops had shot back. Yeah, it made martyrs, because after all, remember, the woman who declared herself her own country was trying to break into Nancy Pelosi's office when she got shot. So, as a woman who declared war on the United States on Facebook, as a sovereign citizen, if you're a sovereign citizen and the government has no authority over you and you declare war, and you get shot, well, you got nobody to blame but yourself, you stupid bitch. There. Now I'm off my soapbox. But
understood. Well, Dave, you have a wonderful evening. And give our best to Christine. I'm going to try. I'm probably going to be here tomorrow.
Christine's going to be making some fried chicken salad for her birthday.
God, that's so good. That just sounds wonderful.
Popeye's chicken, just strip off the bone, and you make chicken salad with the skin and all.
I'm game. Sounds delicious.
Add a little celery seed so it doesn't get too moist by using real celery. But that's what we're going to make. And she adds a hard-boiled egg to it. So
nothing wrong with that.
Put that on some whole wheat crackers, and you've got lunch.
Sounds nice.
All right, Robin.
I'm not so big on the crackers anymore, but I get I get it. I'm going to try.
A few of them are not going to hurt you. Few of them in place of bread are not going to hurt you. You need a few carbs to keep your body going.
And then at the end of the evening, I will have my late night snack.
Your sugar free rice pudding.
Yes,
that does sound good.
It's delicious. I hate to confess it, but they carry it at Wally World, and the name of the brand is Cozy Shack, and they're these little individual cups, and one is just perfect, and I think it's got 5 grams of carbs.
Oh well, that is perfect. All right, Robin, well, take care of yourself and think about that fried chicken salad at some point.
Oh, it sounds so good. It sounds so good.
All right.
All right. See you, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, I mean, like, tomorrow, I'd love to go down and there's a seafood restaurant I love in Charleston, but it's Charleston. 50 miles down, 50 miles back. Yeah. But, and, you know, who wants to do that by themselves, right? So, anyway, we're nearly to the end of the program, but a couple of things bear mention. Nitwit Nero's pettifoggers are suing again. Some of this just gets so Dr. Evil, you know? Julius Geezer is suing Bob Woodward and Simon & Schuster for $50 million, claiming that when he sat down and signed papers and agreed to be interviewed and to be recorded by Bob Woodward for a book.
It was only for one book, not a goddamn audio book and not the paperback version. It was just one book.
Because Bob Woodward published a book called, published an audio. Well, it's called The Trump Tapes. And so he's sued today in Pensacola, Florida. Jurisdiction there ought to be interesting. Simon & Schuster, Bob Woodward, Paramount Global, claiming they
unlawfully usurped his copyright interests and other rights. And they sold more than 2 million copies at $24.99 apiece. So we can do, I can do the math. I have a very big brain. Believe me. And so $50 million.
The suit claims,
I made Woodward aware on multiple occasions, both on and off the record. Thank God this isn't video. You'd see me doing the Trump accordion hands. On and off the record. That he only had a limited license to use the recordings. And I retained all the other rights to the narration.
So he'll probably lose some more. Good. Yeah, you're right, Randy Radar. The Cozy Shack zero sugar, no sugar added rice pudding is right next to the tapioca. And God, I can't stand tapioca. I handle rice pudding. Tapioca? No. Like frog's eggs. Sorry, I just ruined dinner. And speaking of frogs, that leads to turtles. And hey, Tom and Sonny San Rafael, that's exactly what we were trying, Scott and I were talking around. Yes, precisely. Actually trying to be extend a little grace and not ruin anyone's dinner this evening. So there we are. And we started out the program with a story about Florida perhaps becoming the 26th Pack 'em if you got 'em state. You know, concealed carry. Lawlessness. Mayhem. Chaos. Armed madhouse. National shooting gallery. And now there is word out of Lakeland, Florida, this evening, of yet another mass shooting. Because Florida. According to the city of Lakeland, a number of people have been shot. At this time, we believe there are 9 victims, 2 with critical injuries and 7 with non-life-threatening injuries. I know nothing about Lakeland, Florida, so I don't know where the Iowa Avenue North and Plum Street intersection is, but that's where it took place at about 3:43 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Because freedom! Wolverines! Jesus, nothing there saying the cops did the shooting. So it's probably just another lawful gun owner. Scott said, 50 million, eh? Litigious fucker, ain't he? I hope he's laughed right out of court. Well, he probably filed that suit to try to distract from the fact that he's getting taken to the... These people are being questioned in the grand jury about his payoff for Stormy. Yeah? Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? So, a few minutes late, but that's the program. And, I'll be here tomorrow. Yeah, I'll be here tomorrow. So thank you, each and every one of you. Thank you for sharing your precious finite time engaging in the program. Really, sincerely. I love this little community, and I love our conversations and everything that I hear from everyone. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Wonderful, wonderful challenges today. Thank you so much for jumping in and meeting them. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, Roger, Steve, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Please remember, when you listen to this program, however you listen to this program, like, subscribe, leave a comment here and there. Brother Deacon Asa just loves the comments, and so do the algorithms. And helps to grow the program. as we move toward two decades of liberal, progressive, independent, non-commercial, non-capitalist broadcasting. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster, get your booster, get your booster, get your flu shot, wipe down your surfaces, help stop the spread of RSV. And get that booster with some sense of urgency, because they probably will not be free after May the 11th. Jesus. And then, well, you know the usual. Wear your mask when you're in crowded places, especially crowded places with lots of maggots. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry some with you, pocket and purse. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet from, like, Paul from Parts Unknown says. And naturally, of course, well, if some jiggling adipose wad of hatred and insecurity comes bumbling towards you, grumbling, they're going to pay me $50 million, every penny of it, I want it all. Well, avoid him like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.